Amen. If you have the Word of God, please take the Bible and turn to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. I did not know that song was going to be sang this morning. But it couldn't have been a more accurate song for the message. I want to you, for you, if you would please. When she sung this song, I was thinking about a courtroom. And if we look at Hebrews chapter number 11, this is the book of faith, or some call it the hall of faith. You heard of the hall of fame? This is the hall of faith. And it's not a hall of faith. It doesn't start out as a hall, per se. If you look at it, it starts out as a room. As a room. Much like the room that we are in now. It's a room. If you read the first verse with me this morning. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We have here a few key words that gives us the right framing of mind, what the writer of the Hebrews, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to accomplish. This word substance here is a word of great importance. It has the idea to be placed under. In other words, as the song that was just sung here indicated, Satan has not let up with his accusations against his people. This just recent days, I've had two times where my sermons have come back to me and said that, and the Holy Spirit, that's an accusation. That's that Satan is trying to disturb something here. Twice. And I begin to think about this sermon, and we've been talking about emotions and how Satan really, really tries to invoke lies through our emotions. And I'm not going to go back over that. I hope you have gotten the CDs, because this is where we are defeated. We're defeated with a thought that goes to a state of mind that leads to emotional subversion, then goes into behavioral patterns. And Satan can manipulate us very easily. And these thoughts that come are accusations. And they're accusations of lies. And when we are responding to the accusations and lies of Satan, you're going to fail here. You're going to get bad news there. God's not going to come through you in this area in your life. When these accusations are coming forth, what is Satan is actually trying to do is move us from the foundation that we have in Christ. Because this word substance means just that. It means to be placed under. You see, without Christ, I am standing on an ever-shifting sand. But with Him being the foundation, He's placed under me for a sure foundation. You see, when we have these accusations, these emotional uprisings that we have, and by the way, they defeat us. How many of you be honest and say, my emotions defeat me a lot of times? And this is why people with addictions, I have a lot of trouble, because the emotions are so powerful and convincing. And what they do, they move us from our place in Christ, and it shifts us from that foundation. Because if we have put our faith in Christ, we have a firm foundation. And Satan has not stopped his accusations, those mental flash shots that come into our mind. And we run the gauntlet of thought, and we wind up defeated, discouraged, depressed, and down and out, and everything else in life oftentimes. You know, we're full of faith when everything's going great. Right? But oftentimes what we have to realize is the entry of the battle is the mind, but Satan really wants our emotions. And when he gets those, he moves us off the firm foundation. Hold your place here. We're going to spend most of our time in the New Testament today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And this word here, substance, is also used in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now, you're talking about substance abuse. Think about that. Faith is the substance, right? Is that what it says? Now, faith is the substance. We shouldn't abuse our faith, beloved. We shouldn't, because that's the substance. That's the very thing that gets us into heaven for eternity. That's the very thing that brings victory into our life. Did not the writer of John say, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Faith. You're talking about substance abuse. Listen, we shouldn't abuse our faith because Satan can handle that all on his own. He can handle that all on his own. This word here, substance, is also translated in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want you to notice here, and it has a little bit different context here, but I think you will appreciate what it means. Because the Satan cannot get your emotions until he begins first to manipulate your mind. And you see, when our mind is manipulated, we do not have that attitude of faith. And we've been looking at Satan's accusations, we've been looking at negative emotions, and we've been looking at all the negative things, but I want to shift today and let's go towards Christ. Let's go towards faith. Let's look at some what the Bible would consider positive things for your benefit and my benefit for God's glory. What do you say? Amen. You see, and we're going to look at faith, some components of faith today. And you see, this faith is the substance. This word, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 4, less happily, if the Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, that you should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. You see this word confident right here? It's the same word that is translated substance in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1. And what it means, when you have confidence, what is it? Is it a state of mind? Right. You have an attitude of confidence. And so when we are standing in the courtroom of heaven or even going through life, and Satan starts throwing his accusations of failure, accusations of guilt, accusations of things in our mind that will trigger depression and discouragement. By the way, there are triggers, and he knows you. Satan knows you. He knows me. And he knows how to push buttons. And when he does this, he's trying to move you and I off this firm foundation and lose our confidence in the very one we've trusted for our eternal security. Man, he's a master at it. And you see, this word substance is applied to our mind, and it has the idea of confidence. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and let's continue this thing here. You see, faith has the idea of a judicial, judicial presence about it. So wait a minute, faith isn't law, Pastor. Don't go there. I get that. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm saved by grace. I'm not saved by the works of law. I understand that. But when we understand, when we come into the courtroom, or we in life, you know, Job was on earth, but Satan was in the courtroom of heaven doing what? Accusing, making accusations against Job. And you see, where do you make these accusations at? He made them before the judge of heaven and earth. You see, we have to have a mindset when we're starting out reading Hebrews chapter 12, we have to understand that it starts out in a courtroom. He said, I don't know about that. Well, let's go on. Let's start at verse 1 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's this next word? Where do you present evidence at? Where is evidence only used in our society? Well, it's primarily used in a courtroom. You see, faith has a forensic principle to it. You see, when faith is applied, there are laws of God that are actuated in life. When I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God put forth some laws. He said, that man is justified before me now. Apply the blood of my son to him. He has been reconciled unto me. You see, the judge sets forth his decree and it is done. That's why I'm saved, and if you're saved here today, we're saved because of Christ, not of our works. Because the demands of the law has to be met, and that the demands of the law is met in Christ. I couldn't fulfill the law, but Christ fulfilled all the law. Amen. He met that. So when I am being overwhelmed with emotions and mental problem, assault of my mind, and Satan's trying to get my emotions to move me off a position that I have in Christ, and he's accusing me, what I have to exercise to keep me, quote unquote, listen, in my legal standing is faith. Because our Jesus is a king. Not only is a king, he's the king of kings. And the king has government, and the government has laws. And in God's law, there's something called the law of faith. You ever heard Paul, you read where Paul wrote about that? And we'll get there in a minute. Just jot this down. Faith is light. It's not darkness. You see, what Satan tries to do, he tries to get us thinking about dark things. Amen? He tries to get us thinking about negative things. And when we start thinking about negative things, our mind will naturally go in a direction that God does not intend for it to go. You see, doubts and fears are not marks of God's children, but evidence of the carnal nature that is within all of us. You see, faith will not let you go in that direction. And if we're going in that direction, what we have sided with is we're siding with the great accuser when he makes accusations in our minds that you're going to lose your job, and this is what's going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And you're going to get a bad report, and this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. And this person is going to do this to you, and this is going to happen. And before you know it, you're either angry, depressed, discouraged. You want to give up and throw in the towel on life. Listen, our Jesus lives. Our Jesus lives. And we have to understand this. You see, what is faith but fertility to the soul that finds scope for God in every extremity and arguments of hope against defeat? And when we're standing here, I want you to go to 1 John 1 and let's look at faith is not darkness, but it is light. The Holy Spirit of God came to illuminate, didn't he? He didn't come to bring darkness, but he came to bring light. 1 John 5, chapter 1, we'll look at verse 5. The Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? Light, and in him is no darkness of all. And what does Satan like to do but throw shadows and shield us from our blessed Savior with darkness? You see, notice what it says. This is the message which we have heard of who? Him. Him. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But why do our minds get dark? Why does Elijah believe his emotions and wind up in the dark cave? Why does he do that? Because we take our eyes off of Jesus and we allow our emotions to push us into and off the foundation of Jesus Christ where we stand. If you're saved here today. Now let's proceed on. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the what? Truth. You see, darkness has the idea of an unhappiness. It has the concept of imminent ruin. And we have allowed our emotions to get to there. We're not in an attitude of faith. You see, as light is the embodiment of happiness and blessing, darkness is the embodiment of unhappiness and ruin. Now, if we be honest here today, you're kind of wishing that God would come through on something, but you have your doubts. Let me tell you something. That is not a position of faith. And we have all perhaps prayed the prayer, Lord, I believe to help my unbelief. God, help us to get from that to in faith. Amen. Help us to get in faith. You see, darkness denotes the dark spirits or evilness, which is the totally opposite, which is totally opposite of Christ. This is what John is saying. He said, if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. You see, when our emotions are in charge, we say, I'm faithing God. No, it's not. We've got to stop and really pray and bring ourselves into the position that where we have in Christ and trust God. You see, to abide in Christ is to live with the attitude Christ lived with. And Christ did not let the circumstances of life, the things He faced, infect His emotions where He felt like He was beat up all the time. And sometimes I feel like I'm going through a meat grinder. How many of you are with me? Yeah. But see, that's not an attitude of faith. Christ didn't live that way. Yes, He didn't ignore the problems that were there, but He never let His mind get to the point where His emotions are affected and quench the Holy Spirit of God. You see, faith is light. It is not darkness. You don't go there in your mind. It is opposite of Christ. Number two, faith is a confident hope. Now, I could put my faith in an inanimate object and you may call that faith, but listen, biblical faith is not just hoping or wishing or having faith in whatever. Faith is in one position. It is in Christ Jesus. People say, just believe. Okay, what are you believing in? See, I have faith. Okay, you hear a lot of secular people. Have faith. Have faith in what, may I ask? You see, the Bible teaches there's only one place to place faith, and that is in Jesus Christ. And let's go to Hebrews chapter number one. You see, faith is a confident hope. In other words, just to comment on the last point, if we're in faith, we're going to imitate Christ. If we're truly in union, we're truly in fellowship, we're going to imitate Christ. That brings us to the next thing. If that's the case, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1, we have hope. Okay? God at some dry times, in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who hath appointed of all things, by whom we are made, also made the worlds, whom being the brightness of His glory. You see that? God is not dark. An express image. You got that? The express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His what?
Power.
When He hath by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You see, because He is on high, we have the hope. Because He is on high, we have the hope. You see, now let's go back to where we're at in Hebrews 12 here. Because He is on high, we have the hope. Now that may be theological, too theological for our everyday practical needs and our emotional onslaughts that we face, but folks, that's the reality of it. Our Lord Savior, He's risen. He's at the right hand of God the Father. And if we don't embrace this in a different mindset and understanding instead of a theological teaching, we're going to be defeated in this world. You see, faith is light. It is not darkness. And also faith is a confident hope. In Hebrews chapter chapter 11 here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not what? Seen. So it's the evidence of thing what? Hoped for. You see, we have to understand what biblical hope is. Hope is not like, oh, I'm wishing, but it has a certainty to it. You see, hope is in the manner of trust. And our God wants to trust Him. You know when Peter says, the trial of your faith being more precious than of what? Gold. You ever thought about that? What's on trial? When Satan's accusing you, what's on trial? It's what you believe. And if you believe that Christ has ascended on high, the Bible says we're more than conquerors through Him. You see, what's on trial, what's being scrutinized is what you believe. And faith is believing in Christ. And what's on trial is the judge is sitting there listening to the accusations of Satan. He's watching your trial. And if we don't respond to God, God and His Word accordingly in faith because Christ is on high, we are, by our very evidence and of our life, we are siding with Satan in that accusation. Did you understand what I'm saying? But the whole time we're saying, oh, I love God, I love Jesus, but our actions and our mind are acting totally contrary to what the Bible says, and our faith is on trial, and the great judge is examining what's going on in our life. He's got our faith on trial. Our faith is being examined. Our faith is being scrutinized. I want my faith to be found true. You see, and in order for that to do that, in order for that to happen, I must understand that biblical hope, and this word has, it is to expect with a desire, a certainty. And remember, please, that this word substance has the idea of confidence behind it. Listen, we can put our confidence in God's Word, and we can put confidence in God. You see, hope dictates a man or a woman's faith. And your faith would dictate your actions and your mood. Uh-oh. Amen. You see, let me jot these three things down about hope. Hope dictates your conduct. Number one, hope believes in God against the world and Satan. When Satan's telling you no, if God's Word has told you yes, choose to believe God's Word. You see, hope is true. And the question is whether we believe God's Word or we believe Satan and our emotions. If our emotions are a lie, and 9 times out of 10 they are, because we can't go on feeling, we must go on faith. If our emotions are a lie to them, it's Satan-backed, Satan-sponsored overthrow of our heart. Do you understand? And so our hope, if it's true, it will trust God's Word and not Satan. And hope is belief in the future against the present. How many of you are facing something right now? Right now. Let me tell you something. When Jesus walked in before Pilate, brother, it didn't look too good for him at that moment, present tense. But 3 days later. I said 3 days later. It looked really great for Jesus. You see, the present might not look that great, but hope understands there's a future that only God can work and bring about for our victory in His glory. So faith understands the power of hope that is within it. Now, let's understand this. Understand this. God's promises are not only for the present, but they're for the future. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. Let's look at this. Let us, that is exhortation, okay? By the way, the only thing God can do for you, the only thing the Holy Spirit can do for you, the only thing that I can do for you, The only thing another Christian can do for you is try to exhort you and encourage you to do the right thing. It's up to you to make the right choice. It's up to me to make the right choice. You see, and that's what this "let us" means. It's an exhortation to do the right thing. Verse 22, let us draw near. Draw near to who? Draw near to God. With a what? True heart. You see, again, stop right here. The emotional onslaught that we have is nothing more than Satan trying to push you off that firm foundation. And then he goes, aha, see there? Aha, see his faith. Now you put that on trial, God. See there? I just knocked them right off their position. You see, that's why we find ourselves doubting so much. Because we let our emotions just push us right off that position, that firm foundation in Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of what? Faith. And that's the title of the message. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from a what? Now, what's an evil conscience? An evil conscience is all the negative, all the darkness that we just looked at. God is light. He's not darkness. That is all the things that our emotions, which is Satan-backed, Satan-sponsored terrorism, amen, that's all it is. And he tells us God's not going to come through, God's not going to help, God's not going to bless, but we just notice that God's promises are the hope is for the future. It didn't look good for Jesus at that moment, but hey, on the third day, brother, he came out of there victorious. And he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. That's why we believe. That's why we don't quit. An evil conscience is the doubt, the fear, the emotions, the belief system we buy into because of Satan's manipulation. And you see, he goes on to say, purge us, or having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our what? Bodies washed with what? Pure water. So this thing has a physical aspect also. Notice this, verse 23, let us hold fast the what? The profession of our what? Without, what's this next word?
Wavering.
Now, tonight we're going to look at Romans chapter 4 when Abraham said he wavered not. You know why people quit on God and they don't come back to church? It's a faith problem. Satan has wound them up, got them marching in a direction because of their emotions, and they're no longer in that position of faith that where they say, I believe my God can do all things. All things. Let us hold fast. Again, he's exhorting. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is what?
Faithful.
Jesus is faithful. You see, when you don't get your prayers answered, you know, Paul prayed, and he said in Thessalonians, when he wrote the church of Thessalonica, he said, Satan hindereth us. And actually, an angel had to come and deliver and open up doors for Paul because of a particular demon was hindering the work of God in Paul's ministry. Listen, we can be called spooky, supernatural, whatever. But friends, let me tell you something. If there's not a real Satan, Jesus never would have had to die. We're in spiritual warfare. I don't care how many intellectuals laugh and mock at that. You know, we can stack degrees against degrees if you want to. But this world only makes sense unless I look through it through the eyes of Scripture. And there is a Satan, but there is a risen Savior.
Amen.
Who's conquered our foe. So, we understand here that faith has a hope for the future. I'm going to stop right here today. We'll have to get the remainder of this tonight. But you got a good introduction to where I'm trying to go with this. What's Satan telling you? What are your emotions telling you? Is the Satan trying to push you off that foundation? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You see, this word evidence has the idea of conviction. while Satan's trying to convict us of wrongdoing or make us convicted, God's not going to come through. So I wouldn't let Satan bring that. Well, why do we quit sometimes? Why do we stop sometimes? Why do we get so down sometimes? Have we not let Satan win the debate in the great courtroom? So how do we win? We put our eyes back on the one we point to, our advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ, and tell the judge of all the heaven and earth, He's why I stand here. He's why I believe. He's why I don't quit. He's why I get up and choose to smile. He's why I tell the devil, no, my marriage is going to work. He's why I stand up and I come to church on Sunday morning. He's why I tell my children I'm going to be the best daddy I can by following Jesus Christ. He's why you take the bad report and say, no, my God has the final answer on everything.
Amen.
He's why. Friend, I'm sad to say it, but many of us, we get so, we get pushed off our position in Christ so many times. And the sad thing, sometimes it's not even a big thing that moves you off. It's the little things. Listen. Let us get up every day in full assurance of faith. Full assurance. And when we start having these thoughts, whatever they may be, yours is different than mine, mine's different than yours. Let us stop it right there in the thought stage before it goes to a state of mind and point to our great advocate, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And just say, He's why.
Amen.
He's why. Let's pray. Feed your faith, your doubt will starve. There's a lot to be said about this. Father, we come to you. Lord, help us today. Lord, there's folks that are battling doubt, battling severe problems and severe trial. Lord, you know each and every heart here. Father, some that consider an eternity and looking at an eternity in hell and maybe asking themselves, how can I overcome that? Lord, I pray today that they will understand that Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And we can only escape eternal damnation by putting our faith in and only in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, with a repentant heart, believing we're sinners, believing He's the Holy Son of God, died for us. His blood will cover our sin, plain and simple, as you tell us in your word. Father, those who are in trial today or facing trials or just scourged by moderate doubt that zaps the joy of Christian living, Lord, help us today to stand on that firm foundation, that rock of ages that never changes, Christ Jesus. Lord, you could do, please do what only you can do now with my feeble preaching. For thou art God alone, you know your people. Have your will and way now in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if God spoke to you in some way, some capacity, some manner, would you just quietly raise your hand? If we'd be truthful, I think everybody probably could or should. If you raised your hand today, you're dealing with something, let God have His way. You know, we have an altar call here, and people are like, well, why do you do that? Well, here's the thing. An altar call has different implications. One thing it implies is, I'm dying to self. Because that's what Christ did. He died on the cross. And what our What it means is Lord, I'm bringing self. You know what our emotions is? It's self. We looked at that last week. It's self-vindication, self-preservation when we're fearful. It's all about self. Self is inflamed. It becomes the controlling factor, variable in our life. So the altar comes. The altar is a death to self. But also it means come to the side of. It means, Lord, I heard your word and I agree with it and I need it for me today. So let's take our hymnals, turn to hymn 126. And if God has spoken to you, the altar, it's a biblical thing. If God has spoke to you, come and sit at that, the altar of God. 126, pass me not, O gentle Savior. If God has spoken to you, don't wait, just step out. Obey the Holy Spirit of God. Let the Lord have His way. Let's live victoriously. Full measure of faith for His glory. In Jesus' name.